Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 124 of the Interviews Podcast. I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Gianmarco Paterno. Alessandro, unfortunately, could not be here. I don't know. For those of you that saw the tweet, had some personal stuff going on with family. You know, I hope everything turns out okay for him and his loved ones, and that you know, that he's able to join us again for the next episode. But filling in is a man who needs no introduction. I mean, this guy is an absolute legend here at Interviews Podcast. It is the one, the only, Nick Diani of Kicks and Picks Pod. How are you doing, brother?
Good to be here, man. Not the best circumstances. I'd rather be here with Ale as well, with maybe 3 points in the bag for you guys, but yeah. Happy to be here regardless. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, no, well said. And I'm gonna try to copy what Alessandro does. I'm not the best at that. I normally like to bounce around places. But we're gonna do his cold open question to at least get it started on the right foot. And I wanna know, was this draw title ending for Inter, or did we luck out because Roma was able to steal points from Napoli today?
I would say so. I think you had a good weekend of results around you. That being said, it definitely feels like two dropped points, and that's a strange thing to say considering you trailed for 90 minutes or, you know, whatever it was, 80 something, or I guess 40 minutes, right? Because you didn't trail the whole game, but didn't have a lead for 90 something minutes, but definitely feels like points dropped.
I mean, I 100% agree. It, you know, when I think about the other matches that we played in the Derby, how we did in the first one, how we did in the second one, I know I'm in the minority based on what I was seeing from Inter Twitter and seeing how they were reacting and feeling about this result and performance. But I feel like this was their actual best performance against Milan in any of the three derbies so far this season. I mean, in my opinion, start to finish, dominated. Yes, we allowed them to hit us on the counter and get that late goal in the first half, which, you know, was, in my opinion, unfair given the way the play was going. But yeah, I mean, that's how it is. That's how calcio is, right? Like, you can dominate an entire match and the ball doesn't bounce your way and the result doesn't go out the way that you would, you know, anticipate. It's not like where in football where time of possession, or, you know, in basketball where, you know, if you dominate possession, it typically ends up with you either having a massive lead or being able to win the game at the end of the day. But I'm happy with that there was no quit in the boys today, right? We were able to battle back and get a late equalizer. So yeah, let's hop right into it, right? Look at the first half. We had our boys come out of the gates. You know, Lautaro seemed to be buzzing, which I know you made a nice little tweet kind of making fun of that, but he seemed to be on the right end of things. Got a little eager, you know, getting in behind the defense. Ended up playing a ball across to Di Marco, which ended up in the back of the net, offsides. And what was the tweet? Okay, come on. Why don't you share it with the listeners here what you were saying?
So it's coming from a place of love. I did have bet on Lauti to score. So, you know, obviously, you know me. If any of the listeners know me, they know I like to place a wager here and there. I did have him to score in the first half, and I also had him to score in the second half. Two separate special bets. So I was, you know, I was counting on him to score a goal. He's been in very good form. We've been critical of him this year. The start of the year has been rough, but he's been in very good form. And this is a game where you want your superstars to take over on both sides. So I was just kind of joking, you know, as the game went on, three disallowed goals. He was involved in all three. And I'm just like, man, when, you know, anytime he knows that, you know, the flag is up, the whistle's blowing, R9 with the finishes. Rest of the game, you know, maybe not so much.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could echo that sentiment. It was definitely been a frustrating season. He's been hot, of course, like we've been able to say as of late. But you were hoping that in a game of this magnitude, he would turn up, be able to get on the score sheet, whether it was an assist or a goal. I mean, given that you put some American currency on it, you would hope that it would be a goal in each half. My friends asked me if I had any bets. I mean, I told them, Lautaro, two plus shots on target and, Inter money line. They got one half of that at least. The other one did not work out so well, but... Yeah, it was a little disappointing for sure. And then given the rate at which the game was being played, right, we were not frantic, but I think we were the aggressors for sure. You look at the way Conceição likes to play, obviously hitting on the counter. And it wasn't just him. It was kind of Milan this whole season. That's kind of how they were able to get their goals against us in every matchup, really, was just against the rate of play, hitting us on the counter, being able to expose us at the back. We had some good performances on that back line from Pavard, De Vrij, Bastoni, not so much, but I mean, he wasn't really called upon on his side of the pitch, really. I mean, Pulisic was kind of kept quiet, really, for the whole thing. And given even how he was playing, I was kind of surprised that they were not going down his side more often, especially given, the weaknesses we know in DiMarco's game defensively. So,
Man, I think, and I don't know if this is going to make sense. It's one of the things I love about podcasting. I love about Twitter. You could just say shit and maybe people understand. Maybe they don't. I'm going to try to make as much sense as I can. But it almost feels like you used the word frantic. I think that was a good word. That's, you want Inter to be aggressive. You want to come out going directly at them. Their weaknesses, right? It's that back line. It almost felt to me like Inter could have let the game come to them a little bit more, especially in the first 45. Like, it's almost like the aggressiveness hurt them in this specific instance. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I think obviously some of it, is misfortune with a foul or with an offsides or whatever it may be. But I think Inter certainly have the skill and Milan have the weakness for the game to have been slowed down just a tad in that first half.
No, I mean, I agree 100%. That was something that I, had talked in my Inter group chat. That this is kind of the one where you would be okay playing a little bit more reserved, playing a little bit more defensive, not really giving them opportunities. And I think at the end, it would have frustrated them and getting them to be a little tired and kind of pulled out of their game plan, which typically is what Inzaghi likes to do. Like, yes, he likes to stick to his game plan, but he also likes to get his opposition out of theirs. And then it allows them to really dictate the match. And unfortunately, Conceição, if you really like break it down, he's played us now four times in the last 3 years. Now, I mean, obviously not as much as other teams would have played us, but I think he has an understanding of what we're trying to do. And is able to take advantage of that and use it against us. He's like, oh, we could just sit back and buy our time, and then the opportunity might be there for us. I do want to ask, so obviously, Reinders scores a goal right at the end of half. Do you think Sommer should have done better with that opportunity?
Tough to say. I don't know if he was thinking Leao was going to make a cross or a pass or something. I think the shot caught him off guard maybe just a tad, but you got, your defense is there to clean that up. So, tough one. I mean, I don't know what he could have done differently, honestly.
I agree.
But now that you asked the question, I'd like to see another replay of it. But in real time and the replay that I saw, I don't think there was much for him to do.
Yeah, I mean, when I look back, I did watch it not too long ago, but like before getting on with you here. And I think that in retrospect, yes, he would probably like to secure it and not spill it out into the middle of the 6-yard, which I think any goalkeeper would say the same thing. But when you see all the black and blue coming in and like four of them end up overrunning the ball there, you hope one guy would be able to pick it up in that scenario and kind of clean out the trash there in front of goal. Unfortunate, really. I mean, I tweeted it that this was probably the most unlucky game I've seen Inter play all season. And we can get in that when we get into the second half. But, given the way that first half was going, you would think, forget about the offsides. You would think we would have been up 2-0 with the way things were playing. And
for sure,
you know, they were able to steal it at halftime there and able to take an early 1-0 lead, or not an early, but a first half 1-0 lead going into the break. And it was kind of crazy because they were talking about the match going into it, that this could be the first time that Milan win 3 times in the same season against Inter in 53 years. I would have thought it would have happened, you know, when with those great Milan teams in the 2000s. I was surprised to hear that.
Even in the 80s or 90s, they had some teams. So
yeah,
that's wow.
Yeah, crazy stat there. You know, when you look at the stats for the end of the match, we had a 1.61 XG, and they had a 0.68 XG. I'm not a big XG fan. I think it's the most meaningless stat, but when you see that, obviously you would think that the scoreline would have been more favorable to us. Just didn't happen to bounce that way. But we go into the second half, we come out, same level of aggressiveness, right? We're still trying to push it, trying to get that equalizer. And I think had we gotten one early, we would have taken the winner at some point in the second half. You could see a little bit of frustration in this Inter side today. A lot of shoving back and forth. Even there was an instance with Tomori and Lautaro in the box. It was really after the foul by Dumfries that led to the equalizer that was, you know, ruled out for a foul. And rightfully so, in my opinion. I don't know what you think about it as like a mutual or a neutral fan, yeah, I should say.
I'm trying to take my bet away from clouding my judgment. I thought in real time it was a foul. I thought on the replay it's probably a little soft, but then, I mean, honestly, think about it. That's given 100% of the time. Like, that's a foul. That's called a foul 100% of the time. Whether it is or isn't, that's another debate. I think it was a little soft, but that's going to get given. It's going to get called that way 100% of the time.
I think so, too. I think it is a little soft. I do think it is a foul. I think because it's Theo that it happens to, it makes you feel like it's even softer because he just goes down. Any chance he can
get. Gotta say, though, he had a really good game. He stood out for Milan. And honestly, when they needed a defender, he had a really good game. And I'm no fan of his.
Me neither. I mean, he's probably the player I hate most in Serie A. And I think he did play a good game. So did Reinders, who's like probably him and Pulisic are probably the two guys that, you know, if you said, oh, you can take a player from either of your rivals, who would it be? It would be one of those two guys. I thought Pulisic did not. But Reinders did play a good game, I think, for the most part. Obviously scoring the goal, but if just everything that he was able to do, especially in controlling the midfield, I mean, that guy is just such a talent. I think that if, you know, like City were to move on for Kevin De Bruyne, that's the guy you look to kind of replace him, in my opinion, right now. I don't think there's a guy who can do similar. I'm not saying he's the same level of talent, but I think in the same type of play that I could see him. But this isn't a Milan podcast, so we can move on from that. But then there's another instance later on with Duram smoking the back line. He gets behind Pavlovic. Now I'm forgetting if that's yes. Gets behind it. Obviously, Theo makes a great sliding challenge there to clear it. But a lot of people, controversy in Serie A, it's obviously always seems to happen. I thought it was a penalty with the way he came in at Duram. I think it would have been a bit of a soft one, but I think at the end of the day, it's still like he gets in there, he takes him down from behind. I think what makes it difficult too, and again, I'll see how you feel, is with Theo coming across and blocking it, right? It kind of looks like almost like a bang bang play. You can't really tell who hit who first. Did that Duram trip over, you know, Theo there, and that's what led to him going down. He was going down already because of Pavlovic's tackle from behind, but what do you think of that? Do you think it should have been a penalty or no?
It would have been tough. I think the referee was at least consistent in the way the game was called. We didn't see anything really get out of hand. We didn't see a ton of cards. I think it's the right call. Like, can you make an argument 50-50 Inter deserves a penalty the way they've played, the way they've forced the issue? I suppose, but, you know, again, that's another argument for another day. I think ultimately probably the right call.
Okay. Listen, agree to disagree. But but no, like, I mean, honestly, I could see it both, but I really could. As much as I want the penalty to be called there,
Yeah, I think if the penalty's called, it's probably not overturned. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would agree. Yes, I would. That's fair. And it not being called, I think that obviously makes it easier. And that's probably why I mean, I would love to know why they don't go to VAR on certain things and check it, or if they are checking it in the same time and they're like, hey, like you should go back and look. I don't know, but
man, and that's my biggest issue with VAR is like a lack of transparency to the viewers.
Like I wish there was, even if you don't have to translate it or maybe you should do like for everybody who doesn't speak Italian, but like it would be good if there was somebody listening into the conversations and who could like relay, hey, this is what VAR said in this situation, whether it's, I don't know, Bonetti or somebody else who's relaying that. I think it would be better for us, especially in the state. Obviously, you know, people in Italy are going to want to know as well. But I think for us, who I think there's a lot of people who may be a bit more on the casual side of things and not have that understanding of why this wasn't called or why it was, and you know, allow their fandom to kind of overtake their reasoning behind things. It would be nice to hear from, whether it's the fourth official or whomever, I don't need to hear from Christina Uncle. I'm okay missing out on that, but give me somebody, you know, from the referees association.
No, and listen, man, that's really one of the biggest issues with VAR since it's like, I think ultimately has it been better? Yeah. But the lack of transparency in real time and then the lack of consistency from game to game. I don't know how many VAR officials there are, or if it's like the NHL where there's one command center and it's the same employees game in and game out. Like, I don't know if Italy does it that way or if there's a rotating crew or whatever. It doesn't seem like calls are made the same way game in and game out, week in and week out. That's really my issue. Like, I just praised this referee for, I think, calling a pretty consistent, even game. That's awesome. That's like step one. But VAR, I just, you know, we're what, 3-4 years into it, still can't make sense of it. What's called, what's reviewed, what's not reviewed. I mean, you have this VAR situation room, you have two linesmen, you have a referee. What, like, when do you make the call for something to get reviewed or not reviewed? That's an issue in this instance.
No, like, exactly. Like, and that's the thing that drives me crazy, because like, then you'll go watch another game, whether it's, you know, I mean, Roma seem to get penalties all the time, which drives me kind of crazy, because some of the time, like, it's like, that was soft, or that didn't make sense, but they get the calls. Like, I wish there was a way to take...
see it too. That's, appreciate that.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, like, whether it's Europa League, Serie A, I mean, they seem to get every call go their way, which I wish we were that fortunate. I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Friedkins are sliding a couple of euros under the table there for the guys. Maybe that's why they can't seem to, you know, finish transfers or anything like that, but... Yeah, no, it's frustrating for sure, the lack of consistency and the lack of clarity, really. Like, you know, like we as fans, obviously we have our opinions on what we think is the right call, not the right call, and we're always going to side one way or another. I try to be consistent with the way I see things. I mean, I don't know, especially like even with the game against Lecce where the penalty wasn't called for Inter, I thought it was. I could hear why other people didn't, but if I see someone dropping their shoulder and putting their hand in the way, to me, that's a pen. But
did you see that? Not to get off on a super tangent. Did you see the play in the Real Madrid game yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, man. I mean, tough to even describe, but they got absolutely hosed out of a penalty. I mean, I don't know how to even.
I kind of wish
like
I could
a defender pretty much wrapped his whole self around Mbappe, like in the box. And
like,
I don't
bear
know,
hug
just
kind
weird,
of thing, or?
Pretty weird situation. And then ultimately, like, the play wasn't even allowed to go on, and Vinny Jr. finished the goal. Just, it was just a whole situation that didn't make sense. All of it was chalked off. And like,
oh my god,
the reality is Mbappe got tackled, and the ref's just like, no, this is going back. Spain's just as bad. I don't know how much La Liga you watch, but like, that's again bigger issue.
I used to watch more. Yeah, no, I used to watch more of it, not as much anymore. I just feel like I'm not a Barcelona fan, so I obviously tend to steer clear of watching any of their games for sure. And Atleti, most of the times when I see schedules, they seem to play around the same time or a little bit before Inter does, so who am I going to pick, you know? Like, but that would be the only team I would probably tune into anyway. You know, I'm not a fan of Real Madrid. Not that I dislike them at the level of Barcelona, but it's just not a team, you know, that I typically care about. But Yeah, it seems to be a common theme across Europe, and I'm kind of scared to see what's going to be the case with the Club World Cup, you know, like how that officiating is going to go.
Are they bringing refs from Europe, or are they taking refs from
here? I believe so. I think so. I could be wrong. I thought that's what I read, but maybe I'm confusing it too with the Copa America, which is going to be here in the States as well. Or sorry, the Gold Cup. Gold Cup's going to be here.
Gold Cup.
Yeah, that's that call just to not get it at that instance was a little frustrating. You know, Inter go ahead and make some substitutions, of course. We bring on Bisek, Fratesi, Bisek, Zielinski, and Carlos Augusto. Off comes Bastoni, Pavard, and Çalhanoğlu. And I feel like that brought a little bit of life to the squad. Obviously, Hakan coming back from injury, he was going to have a hard time, really, like getting back into the swing of things. It takes a little bit of time to get back into game form. And you could see it. There was definitely rust there. You know, the mistake that he made in the first half is what led to the goal, unfortunately. Very frustrating, especially a player of his experience to not be, you know, expecting that pressure from behind and allowing himself to be stripped. I heard our friend Nazario say that had it been, you know, Aslani, we would probably never hear the end of it. And I would have to agree, of course. You know, we give Hakan a bit of leeway because of his level of play for all season. But yeah, that play in that instance is kind of inexcusable. So
do you think he should have started the game? Do you think that was a mistake?
I do. I really do. Of course, I wanted him to start. I'm not going to say that I didn't want him to play. But I think, yeah, knowing that we needed 3 points, I mean, very fortunate, of course, to get it at the end there. But maybe that's one where you play Zielinski instead, or you just move Barella there, because Zielinski never seems to stop letting us know that he hates playing at Egista. So might have been one to go with someone who's a little bit more fresh and more, you know, game ready than throwing Hakan in there. And then maybe that's a guy you bring on, you know, against tired legs with like in the 80th minute or something. And you kind of see if, you know, you're able to steal something at the end there. But yeah, I mean, listen, I may disagree with Inzaghi's, you know, tactics and his lineup sometimes, but he's the one who's seeing them in practice. You know, maybe to us as fans, he looks rusty, but maybe he looked like he was ready to make the play. And of course, a player's going to want to play in that instance. We know how he feels towards Milan and how there's no love lost there. So that's probably why, you know, he ended up getting the start today.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's the will, right? It's the will of the player probably more than anything that had him in there. So was he completely ready? That was, you know, one of my thoughts. Definitely, I'm glad I got to ask you that question because that's kind of what I thought. But then I look and, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 6 midfielders for two teams who really made an impact. You know what I mean? Like everybody almost kind of neutralized each other. Reinders obviously scored the goal. I think Reinders looked pretty good, but you had Benacer who did nothing. You had Musa who was very active, but, you know, didn't really do much. Mickey wasn't doing much. Barella faded as the game went on. So it's like there was almost too much chess going on, or, you know, too much pinball and too much chess at the same time. But I think just the game passed a lot of guys by, and, you know, third time meeting the same squad in the span of what, a few months, it's, you know, there's only so much tactically you could switch around.
Agreed. And like the thing that was frustrating me, and I kind of got really upset today on Twitter. There was a lot of negativity going around and people being upset with Inter and saying, oh, they suck. Oh, this is such a disappointing performance. We're not title contenders, blah, blah, blah. Normally I am the anti-Alessandro. Like, Alessandro gets really worked up, and I don't let it bother me. But for whatever reason today, it did, because I thought we were playing fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's okay to be disappointed with the result, which we thought was going to be a loss. I'm not saying I'm okay losing, especially to Milan. I hate them. Right. I hate Juve. Like, I never want to lose games to those guys. But when you are outclassing them in every part of the pitch, in my opinion, sometimes that's just the way the game goes, right? Like the bounce is not going your way. The ball's not ending up in the back of the net. you're just unfortunate that day. Like, we had 67% possession.
Right.
Like,
right.
What more? Like, I and yes, you could say, oh, it was empty possession, but we outshot them. We had more shots on targets than they did. Like,
more corners, more possession.
More corners, more possession, sides, more better passing.
Yeah.
We hit the post 3 times. I mean, I jokingly said to Nazario, like, notice how it was a white post blocking 3 black interplayers. You know, is that net racist in Serie A? Possibly at the San Siro, but.
Listen, man, yes, do you always want to win a derby game? Of course you do. Can you throw the form book? Can you throw tactics? Can you throw performances out the window? Of course, there's always some element of that. It's a 50-50 game with two teams, you know, in the top five, top six of the league, right? I don't care what position Inter's in, how much better you've been, so on and so forth. So I always come on here, and I've said to you guys 3 or 4 times, like, Inter had done a really good job of getting results when they don't play well. This is the inverse of that. This is sometimes you're going to play really well and you're just not going to get the result. That happens. It's going to happen to every team. It's unavoidable, and it's a derby. Like, what do you want? You know, is it frustrating? Is it okay to be reactionary and be pissed off? Of course it is. And I think Twitter is a very reactionary place. That's the whole point of it. You want to get your hot take out. You want to get it out quickly. You want comments or whatever, but take a step back, take a breath. I think you're exactly right. It's one of those games, and you're fortunate to get a point out of it, but you play better. And when you play better than the other team, more often than not, you're going to get the result. So Napoli didn't get the result today. I think Roma had one shot on target.
Thank goodness, right?
Right? Atalanta didn't get a result. Atalanta didn't get a result yesterday. I think Torino had one shot on target, right? So, like, shit like that happens. It's unavoidable. Is it hurtful because it's against a rival? Maybe. But in the grand scheme of things, I think you'll be okay.
Agree. And I had people coming at me like, oh, you know, this is it. Like, it's this mentality that, you know, we deserve the banter era and whatever. Like, buddy, I lived through the banter era. Like, that's why I'm not that upset about these games, because that was horrendous. That play, you could be upset about. Thank goodness there wasn't Twitter when all that was. Can you imagine if Twitter existed when Inter and Milan were in their banter era? I think people would honestly be killing themselves. Like we would be seeing absolute meltdowns over a loss to Novara. Like, we lost to Novara, who I think now are in Serie C, and we lost to them 3-1. I'm not saying no team is going to win all 38 games in the league. No team. You're going to have moments where this stuff happens, where you don't play as well as you would like, where things don't turn out the way that you would want. And especially in a derby, when both teams sucked, guess what? Those games were difficult for both sides. I mean, we had to have Mauro Icardi steal a 3-2 win, scoring a hat trick in the most insane way in order to beat Milan back then. And we were both like 7th and 8th in the table. Like, you're going to play your hardest games when it's your derby. It's just, like you said, it's not going to be, we could be the best team in the world, but in a derby, it doesn't matter. It goes out the window. We could be first. They could be 20th. It goes out the window.
100%.
Like,
big believer in that. And man, trying to give an outside perspective here. Like, look at Man City this year, the best team on the planet for the past 10 years. Fuck, absolutely smoked today. They're lucky other teams aren't better in the Premier League. They'd be out of the top five. Look at Real Madrid. Look at Barcelona. These teams are dropping points week in and week out. So I think let the result kind of wear off a little bit. One loss in the league, man. One loss through 22 games. Like, don't lose sight of that. That's beyond incredible.
Exactly. Like, I mean, people, like, no offense to Nima and some other people, but they were like, oh, that's it. It's Conte's year. Napoli are winning. Like, after this draw, that's it. It's over. There's still 16 games left. 16 games left. Like, should we just close up shop?
Yeah,
give them the title now. Yeah. Well, all right, let's not play the other 18 games. Leave the table as is, and let's focus on Champions League. Rest everybody. Don't worry. Like, anything can happen. Like, they drop points to Roma, who've been absolute ass all season. Like, I don't think they're as invincible as some people like to make up. I understand Conte, one game a week, is an absolute menace to go up against, and he's going to give everything to win that trophy. But if he doesn't win it this year, and then he has to worry about Champions League next season, I don't think he's going to be able to do it then. So it's like, the pressure's on them. We just have to play out our games and win the matches in front of us, and not worry. Like, as soon as we start watching scoreboard watching, that's when we'll probably drop points.
I agree. And it's, I don't want to say that they're overachieving, but they're getting an awful lot out of a team that really isn't scoring a lot of goals, right? You got Lukaku, who is hit or miss. He can still bring it on his day, but you're not getting goal contributions from anybody else. They're not getting it off their bench. They're barely getting it from their wingers. Cavada's now gone, obviously. And you saw it today. It bit them in the ass, right? Two goals. One more goal, you put that game against Roma completely away. You didn't get it. Last kick of the game, and they give up a goal, and that's that. So be happy with the luxury that Inter has. Also, Lautaro, Thuram, they have their shit weeks just like every other player on the planet. But that duo, I'll put my money on them from here to the rest of the season. We've seen it. It's proven. Take a breath.
We're 3 points behind them. We have a game in hand. Like, let's not hit panic. They have games against Lazio, which you guys have beaten them twice in a row. You did it in the same week. So that, with heavy rotation, it wasn't like you threw out the same lineup twice. Granted, I know things have got a little difficult. Injuries are insane. Red cards are insane for you guys. Like, hopefully some people come back. They got games against us on March 2nd. Fiorentina. Yep. Milan, Bologna won't be easy either. I'm just trying to see any other, and that's
pretty easy run out to the schedule, though, man. Those last 6-7 weeks,
last 6 games, 7 games. Yeah, I mean, that's where it could play into their favor. But we haven't seen the usual Juan Jesus howler, which it's due. You know that Meret can drop a stinker at any moment. I don't root against a goalkeeper to drop, have howlers, but Meta has it in his bag. Like, it's possible for him to have a complete stinker. There's going to be teams that are desperate to get wins, whether it's, Lecce, Genoa, Parma, like Cali, like they're playing against teams who are also going to be in the relegation battle trying to save themselves.
Yep.
So even a draw for them would be a huge win, right? So let's not panic just yet. We got 16 games. And let's see how it plays out. Like, I mean, God, like, we can get an injury. They can get an injury. We don't know what can happen that can change the tide of things. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too optimistic. Maybe it's because, I saw the darkest of days here and still believe that we would win the Scudetto when I was throwing out midfields of Kuzmanovic, Medel, and Taider and thinking, this is a sick lineup here. Like, we're going to be good to go.
Shit.
But yeah, like, it's not over, guys. It is not over. Inzaghi is a fantastic manager. This team knows how to win tough matches. They know how to overcome tough matches. And I got faith that, with Thuram and Lautaro clicking the way they are, our midfield playing the way it is. You know what? Quick shout out to Nikola Zalewski, who I thought was going to be not that meaningful of a signing, not that impactful. I did think he could be better than Buchanan, but I didn't think that he would be able to come in and have an immediate impact with, like, I don't even know if he had a training session, to be quite honest, with Inter. Like, he got in, I think Saturday is when, everything was done and dusted with him. And then next thing you know, he's coming on in the second half of a derby and having a great impact with his assist. I thought he even had some good crosses into the box. He did get skinned by, I think it was Musa or Abraham. I forget who it was along the sideline who kind of made him look absolutely silly. That is a deficiency in his game. I think anyone who's watched Roma or watched Zalewski play knows that.
Nah, not a defender.
But, huh?
No, he's not a defender.
Not. Like, not his thing at all. Like it is getting forward and being able to give crosses. So listen, I'm happy with the performance. I'm glad he was able to get the assist, and I think that'll help him go forward and be able to feel like, okay, I can have an impact at this club and help them, you know, chase their Scudetto. And I mean, that'd be amazing as well. So obviously we see, you know, we hit the post three times. Bisek, unlucky. Thuram, unlucky. Dumfries, unlucky. Any of those go in, different story. We're here celebrating 3 points. I'm not going to let this game get to me. I'm not going to dwell on it. Let's move on with this. And thankfully, you know, De Vrij is able to save us. Lazio legend, you know. I'm so happy he's still here. I did think, I'll be honest, that you know, he was his best days were behind him. This season, completely proven wrong, and I'm happy to be proven wrong. I'm always happy when a player proves me wrong.
Right. Yeah, I can't believe I had to look it up two or three times. He's still only 32. Like, that blows my mind. I almost feel like he's young, because I just, in my mind, De Vrij's 35, 36. But no, he has stood in due to injury, and he's been outstanding. And I thought he had an excellent game. I really thought all your defenders played well. I thought, you know, Bastoni, obviously, you know, yellow card trouble, but it was a necessary foul, if I recall, right? He stopped Tammy on the break somebody.
He had to, yeah. It was a good tactical foul.
I thought Pavard was awesome in that first half defensively, right? Good. The building block is there. I mean, I don't know what more you could have asked out of defenders, right? Obviously, outside of the goal we talked about, but how much can you really do, right? The ball's going to bounce where it bounces. I think the effort was there. And everybody looked good, right? Tammy was neutralized the whole game. Liao, I guess, had that one shot on goal in that instance of the goal. He did nothing besides that. So Pulisic, we talked about, very quiet. I think they were calm. There wasn't a ton to do, but they all stepped in when they needed to.
No, exactly. I'm very happy, listen, with the performance as a whole. Like I said in the beginning, this was their best performance in the Derby so far this season, you know. And what I was trying to tell people who kept like getting, you know, they were saying that, how did they put it? Oh, like that I was saying that they're not allowed to be angry. Of course you're allowed to be angry. I'm never going to tell people how to live their lives or what to think. But I'm also like, look at the big picture right now. Yes, this is disappointing, the result currently. At that point, 1-0. But they are getting outplayed left, right, and center. Like, Milan did nothing. They didn't deserve a point, to be quite honest. Like, they just were the luckiest team today. And who's to say that doesn't happen for us, you know, next week or whatever, you know, like our opponent hits 3-4 posts or, you know, or they don't get a penalty called against us, which, let's be real. If this happened the other way around, everybody, Milanisti, Juventini would be quote tweeting, you know, zooming in on every possible
still
angle
images to make their point.
Yeah, like, yeah. And just saying how corrupt Inter, Marotta League, all the BS that they come up with. But when it goes against Inter, silence. Nobody says anything. I don't know what we did to piss people off, to have every team hate us, every club hate us, except for Lazio. I mean, maybe that's why I like having you and hanging out with Sean, because you guys are, you know, we're basically, you know, family. And we always take, you know, your worst players and overpay ridiculous amounts of money. So you're welcome.
Say, hey, right? Some of our best players too over the years. Come on.
Okay, but we typically get those guys on a free. So, but yeah, ends up 1-1. Inzaghi after the match. This is the first time I've ever seen him furious and actually say something about it. He did not like the no call on the penalty. He thought it was a clear cut penalty. Said it as much. And then said basically that, you know, had it been the other way around, you know, everybody would be looking with, I'm paraphrasing, but basically we'd be looking at it under a microscope and finding a way to, you know, to say how corrupt Inter is. I'm happy. I'm happy that he finally came out, because I feel like we as a club for too long have been the nice guys, right? We allow these things to go and we don't want to like say boo about anything. But I feel like when you do it the other way around, whether it's Conte, you know, calling a referee out, like that's when you tend to get things go a little in your favor. I'm not saying that everything goes your way, but
squeaky people wheel be gets like, the grease.
Exactly, right? So it's nice to see them speak out. Thuram said the same thing, which, you know, again, I don't know. I'm assuming that they finally got the okay from upper management to kind of call things out in the media, because normally it's, hey, this was unfortunate. We move, we stay quiet, nothing to say, no comment, whatever it is. And it was nice for a change to see that side of Inzaghi. You know, he didn't throw players under the bus or say anything like that, but he just, you know, he did call out the refereeing decisions and how that had an impact on the result of the match. So,
yeah, and you wonder how much of, like, not us against the world mentality, because I don't think it's escalated to that, but like if you have the team calling it out and believing that, hey, we need to work that much harder because we're not going to get that call that we maybe deserve, not the worst tactic in the world.
No, exactly. And I'm happy with it. I'm hopeful that this, you know, could maybe have some things actually play out for our favor for once. And then you could, I'll be okay with the Marotta League tweets, because now they actually would be true, right? So we did get a couple of questions, not too many today, but we did get one from Gabe or Gab. You know, he says, you know, 3 disallowed goals, 3 posts, outplayed Milan, showed great character to not give up and get the breakthrough goal. Massive for Zalewski to come on, play well, and assist to salvage a draw. But can we as Inter fans talk about Mkhitaryan? Is he still good enough to start a big game? For me, no. Let's see what you say, Nick.
I agree. I said that, I think, twice now this year with you guys. I think the game has passed him by a little bit, whether that's for whatever reason, age, tired. Like, listen, these guys are playing a ton of games. We talk about that all the time. I don't think it's just him, right? Everybody's exhausted. I think you saw 22 guys exhausted by the end of this game. But no, I just don't think he has it, game in and game out, to make an impact the way Inter are going to need him to going forward to close out the year.
I would agree with you. You know, it's not that I don't think he has a role to play. I think that he could be a very impactful sub coming off the bench. I think going against tired legs would be beneficial to him. And even though I don't think he played a terrible game, you still would have hoped for more. I think that he had a few instances where he did turn the ball over, didn't play the pass either quick enough or to the right person in some instances. So, yeah, I think it's, we can get into more transfer news for Inter at the end of this, but, you know, I think Inter recognizes it, and that's why they went ahead and addressed it. Even though it's not coming until the summer, I am a little excited about this deal that has appeared to be gotten done, according to our good friend, or Nima's good friend, we could say, Fabrizio Romano. And, we'll get into that, but the next question, actually, or the last question, I should say. Two questions from the same guy. Peter Jordan, well, I guess first asked, like, should we be annoyed? Yes. But my God, this fan base is toxic. Milan played a 5-4-1 in the second half, and we're defending for their lives. We deserve more. But some fans need to realize Inter can't win them all. And I repeat, we cannot win them all. Oh, so that wasn't really a question. But Peter, hey. I agree. Listen, I said the same thing, so. I'm glad somebody's on my side on that stance, at least. And then he did send a little screenshot of the foul by Pavlovic. You know, if we wants to know if we have any thoughts or is he reaching? Obviously, we did address that, right? You said it can go either way. I said I would call it a penalty, but I can understand why it wasn't. And I think because of the speed at which the play happened, I think that might have been a big reason as to why it wasn't called a penalty, even though I would have liked it to have been, of course, given the way things were going. And at that instance, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe Hakan was still on the pitch. So I would have felt good, a little bit better actually, about him taking the penalty, because we saw with the way Lauti took his against Monaco, even though it went in, he's the most nervy person that I see taking pens. What do you think?
On your team or in general?
Both. I mean,
because we got to address the elephant in the room, man. Our boy Retegi has looked fucking terrible taking penalties.
Mute. How do I turn your mic off?
Hey, listen, that's our boy. You were the original, but that's I don't know. Jorginho maybe has like ruined penalties for everybody.
I think so.
You made the joke, but like that style of stop start. I know he didn't invent it, but it's got to go away. Man, it's not working. But yeah, listen, I always want a striker who wants to get up and take a penalty.
For sure.
So I don't mind that you have Lautaro, but a lot of strikers just aren't great at it for whatever reason. He's not the only one, right? Where I think like Immobile wasn't a fantastic penalty kick taker. He did score a lot of penalties because he took them all, but he missed an awful lot too. So yes, to answer your question, I think even in his current state, you probably let Hakan take the penalty if he's on the field.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's not even a question really. So I appreciate the question, Peter, for sure. Thank you guys who do send your questions in. And also I want to say thank you to the guys who did send well wishes to Alessandro. It does mean a lot. I'm sure he's going to see it when he has time. You know, and I'll let him know, you know, that so many of you did reach out and comment on it. It does mean a lot because, I mean, I know he's my co-host here, but he's also, you know, a good friend. And we all have stuff obviously that go on in our personal lives, and it's not easy sometimes. So I'm sure that's going to be uplifting at the very least. So sure. Appreciate every single one of you,
man. Let me piggyback on that just for a quick second. As an outsider, as a friend, as a part-time fill-in co-host of the podcast, I'm addressing the listeners here, and obviously everybody who gave well wishes to Ale, that's appreciated. But just in general, anybody that's listening to this podcast, that watches it, listens to it week in, week out, you've built a really good, positive, engaging community here, you two, and everybody that does that, that listens, deserves credit, because yeah, we're all pissed off in the moment. The team didn't get 3 points, but overwhelmingly, like the reactions, the engagement that you get and that the fans give, the listeners give, like I want to give a shout out to everybody, man. So what Gianni just said, you know, the outpouring of support for Alessandro, I expect that. I expected it. As soon as I saw that tweet, I was like, oh, these are the people, this is the community that you guys have built and that exists. You guys have a great thing here. So I'm happy to play a small part in it and be proud of that. 3 points not come, but you got the championship there.
No, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you obviously being able to hop on and always be available for us. That's just a testament to the person you are. I think, you know, like I'm so glad that I got to meet you and get to know you and kind of like build this friendship and this community here with not just, you know, Interisti, but really just the guys like Gianni Delicoli and Nick and Chris and, you know, all those guys. I mean, heck, even Jan, you know, he drives me crazy, but he is good people. And, you know, like it's just great. I the community that we have here. And even though we may get under each other's skins and have different opinions, and even with Interisti, you know, like I was disagreeing with them and they were disagreeing with me. But at the end of the day, we could be mature and oh, you know, respect each other's opinions and go, you know, our separate ways on it. But yeah, thank you for everything, everybody. It's truly truly been great, and I'm hoping that we can, you know, keep doing this and continue to build friendships, of course, you know, with this. So I do want to address the big news. I hope that it's, you know, I know they say it's done, but we've seen Fabrizio Romano, you know, be wrong before.
Once or twice
and kind of jump the gun on some news and not be completely accurate. But I'm seeing it even from like Croatian news outlets. You know, Thomas at Inter Extra put it up as well. Peter Sucic from Dinamo Zagreb, done deal to Inter, 14 million plus 2 million in bonuses. He's going to stay at Dinamo Zagreb through the end of the season and join Inter in the summer. A guy I wanted, I mean, everybody who knows me knows I'm a big fan of the Croatian contingency that comes to Inter, and I'm hoping that this guy just continues the legacy that Kovacic and Brozovic have started here. Big signing. I think that he would be probably the direct replacement for Mickey, or at least in the starting 11. Yeah, super excited about that. And, you know, I hope to see what other Interisti feel about it. I don't know, you know, if you've gotten a chance to see him, Nick, at all in Champions League or anything, but a guy who I think characteristics would be very well suited for the Serie A. And I'm excited with this pickup. I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, he's been really, really good, right? And he's a guy that's not super young, right? So you don't have to come in and I don't want to say train him, but, you know, get him up to speed. He'll be able to hopefully contribute right away. Right. Because he's got a couple years under his belt. I mean, he is 21. I'm now that I'm looking it up here, but he's
he does have a couple years of first team. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this Dynamo team has been actually pretty damn impressive. I know they didn't make it out of the Champions League group stage, but they scored goals in every game. I think they had 2 goals in every game that they played.
They beat Milan. Wins.
Beat Milan, right? That, I mean, it screwed Milan. It didn't do anything to Dynamo. But he's been a catalyst for a lot of that. I don't know that he's a guy that, granted, I've seen 3 or 4 games of Dynamo. I've seen some highlights. I'm not an expert on the player. I don't know that all of his contributions show up on the stat sheet, but he's one of those guys that's noticeable when he has the ball. And that's getting fewer and fewer and fewer in this game. So to have guys like that, always going to be an asset.
You know, I'm not saying that he's the same type of player, but you could look at, I mean, and you would be familiar with him as well. Rovella, right? Doesn't get a ton of assist. And I think it's more so due to the poor finishing at Lazio, more
definitely due to that.
Than anything Rovella does. But a lot of what he does doesn't show up on the stat sheet. It does get overlooked. But if I'm starting a team of, like, let's say Serie A All-Stars, my midfield is probably going to be Rovella, Barella, and, I mean, you could put Reinders or whoever else you want, you know, whether it's Anguissa, McTominay right now. I mean, they've been great themselves to be the third guy to round it out, right? So, I mean, I would say that they have similarities in that sense that they, like you said, they don't show up on the stat sheet, but their impact is noticed if you actually pay attention to their game. So, super excited about this signing. I think that he's going to be, you know, one for the future. And we got, you know, some other midfielders in the Primavera team that I'm excited about, like specifically Topalovic, who could be another name in the future that ends up having an impact at this club. But yeah, this is a good one. So be excited, Interisti. I hope that, you know, you back this player, because I do see sometimes that we turn pretty quickly on our signings if they don't come good after 2 or 3 games. So
listen, there's a lot of them that got a lot of leeway that, you know, maybe it's time to go. There's some guys who turned opinions, right? That started off poorly. That
Denzel Dumfries, man.
I mean, I wanted to make you say it before I came out and said it.
I was his biggest hater. Nobody hated Denzel Dumfries more than I did. Nobody was more. And I'm okay saying, hey, I was wrong. And he's come good. And I've been happy with his performance. Even though he didn't play great today, I don't think he played poorly either. You know, so whatever it is that's clicked with him, I'm hoping it keeps going. And that he's a guy that ends up staying for many years now, because, yeah, his impact is noticeable. And I think, you know, other people would agree with whatever. I'm sure there's players at every person's club, right? That if you look at it, yeah, you may have been disappointed or annoyed with them. Whether it's, you know, I'm sure some Juventini would say McKennie was a guy that they were very down on. Now you could make a case that he's probably been one of their best players, right?
Like, definitely can.
So, let's just, you know, give people some time, of course, to get acclimated, get comfortable. At Inter, it's a big jump to go from Dinamo Zagreb to a club like Inter with the history we have, but I'm confident that he will make come good. So, you got anything else you want to say, Nick? Anything else on top of mind? Anything you want to plug? When's your next episode dropping for Kicks and Picks?
Usually Wednesday nights if everybody's available. If not, we shift to Thursday, but we definitely try to get in before the weekend, because we're usually previewing a big game or two and trying to give out the latest odds and our thoughts, whether they're right or wrong, but try to have a couple laughs, make some bets. We've been doing pretty well last couple weeks, last month or so, really, really started to heat up. So happy with that. Give us a follow on YouTube, on Twitter at Kicks Picks Pod. But other than that, dude, just happy to watch this season unfold the way it has. I mean, it's been a great year. We got a relegation battle that I feel like nobody's talking about. Six, seven teams within like 3 points of each other for relegation.
And I think 15 to 18 are all tied on the same point total.
Yeah.
Which is, it's crazy.
Out of control. We obviously have a battle for the Scudetto. I don't need to speak any more on that, but it's great for the league. I think you may not agree with me, but for me, anytime somebody that's not Inter, Milan, Juve can challenge for a title, can win a title potentially, I think it's great for the league. The teams are showing up in Europe, so it's been a fun year for Serie A. I mean, it's going to be nerve-wracking for Inter East for the rest of the year. There's no doubt about that, but try to enjoy the ride as well, because I damn sure am. You know, whether Lazio makes top four, top five, I don't know that that's realistic, but it's been fun so far.
No, I'm honestly not trying to jinx it or stew anything, but I'm pretty confident with you guys finishing top four or top five at the bare minimum. I think Fiorentina dropping points last week, not this week, you know, kind of helps with that too. And Juve doing their typical, not typical, at least this season, typical draw is going to be.
We let them off the hook every week, unfortunately. We should be 7-8 points ahead of them, but
should, yeah, 100%. But I don't think that they're really going to be challenging. Unfortunately, I could be wrong, but you know, I'm hopeful for you guys. I think because of the ties I have. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, no. Finish your thought. I got so excited. I got excited.
Shoot it out.
I try to ask this to everybody because I feel like Serie A fans would be better about this, but nobody seems to be. When Champions League comes around, are you rooting for other Italian teams to do well, or are you not?
For the coefficient, yes. Like, I mean, obviously deep down, I want to see Juve and Milan crash and burn always. But also, I mean, if both of them move on, Inter is playing one of them. So I think that's great for Serie A. I think that's great to shine a light on some of the big teams in the league. If Milan's playing someone that, you know, whether like if they're playing Barcelona or they're playing Man City, I'm probably pulling for them in Champions League. I'm not saying, obviously, people, if you're listening to this, that doesn't mean I'm a fan.
Put the pitchforks down, guys.
Yeah, this doesn't mean that. Listen. Don't lie to you. Don't lie. When Juve was playing Milan, you were just as excited when they went up 1-0 as I was, right? When De Gregorio made that big save against Napoli, I mean, sorry, not Milan. When they played Napoli, you were just as excited when he made that big save because it was helping us. If this is good for the league, like we want five Serie A teams in the Champions League. So with you know, Lazio doing so well in Europa League, finishing top of the table, that's huge for the coefficient. Having four teams in Serie A move on in the Champions League out of the five, that's huge for us in the coefficient. So, yeah, I want Atalanta to go deep. I want Juve or Milan, once they get to us, to get there. But when they get to us in the second round, now the round of 16, I want them to get absolutely obliterated. And I'm selfishly hoping for Juve because I think that would be easier tie for us. But, like, that's it. Like, you need them to go on so that we get more points. And I would rather see a team, you know, one less Bundesliga team or one less La Liga team, right? If it means that, you know, more of our teams are able to showcase. And that's more money for the Serie A clubs, which would hopefully allow them to invest and continue to improve because we want this league to be at the forefront, I think. Like, we all hate the EPL. We all hate La Liga. I think that in terms of, you know, I think in terms of competitiveness from top to bottom, we would, and I don't even think it's biased. I think if you actually like looked at it, we are the most competitive league from top to bottom out of the four major ones. I think we're the most enjoyable. But I think obviously for the backing and stuff, obviously the EPL has the edge on us.
EPL's had, listen, but I will say that it's been a fun year for the EPL also.
Honestly, it has. I have tuned into games there and it has been fun to watch. Even if I'm hate watching Chelsea and Arsenal, but you know, it's and Tottenham, let's be real. I think their fans are quite crazy. But I've got a little bit of a soft spot for Everton. I don't know why. Maybe it's because when I was in high school, Wayne Rooney was like 16 and I was like, cool, a high school guy playing, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's what I got into.
Last time they were relevant, probably.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I mean, they've won 3 of 4 though now with David Moyes back, so maybe they're going to be back to relevant.
Scoring goals,
scoring goals. I mean, listen, throw
Beto, me Beto couple. 2 goals this week, unbelievable.
I wonder what the odds were on him to get a score sheet. Probably, well, two goals. I'm sure would have been insane.
We previewed the game; it was pretty low. So
really,
I'll get into a very short tangent for anybody unfamiliar with betting or any betting shit, man, just hit me up. I'm happy to explain it. But odds to score a goal in soccer are very out of whack. I don't think they properly value how difficult it is to score a goal in the soccer game. That being said, somebody will have worse odds to score just because of their position. So because Beto is listed as a striker, as a forward, his odds are always going to be worse than
okay.
a midfielder who might, you know, be a 20, or that's not realistic, I'm sorry. Maybe there's a 10 goal a year midfielder, you know, that comes in and contributes game in and game out that's much likely to score. The odds are very rarely going to reflect that just because of the position he's in. So I think Beto, the score was only like plus 240, plus 250. And the guy has 5 goals in 2 years since he's been at Everton. So like in reality, if you're basing it on his performance, he should be like plus 1,000 because he doesn't score. But
yeah,
based on the position he plays, he's plus 250.
What would have been, would it been some like crazy jump if it was like Beto 2 goals anytime, like anytime goal scorer?
Yeah, probably plus 1,500, probably plus 1,800, something like that.
Man, definitely. Wouldn't that have been nice to throw? Like, obviously, if you read the future, I don't think anybody in their right mind would put $100 on Beto to score 2 goals. But, you know, if you had that almanac that, you know, Michael J. Fox had in Back to the Future, you might, you know, be down with it. So, but all right, man. No, listen, anybody who's not following at Nick Diani, you're crazy. Because the guy is, one, hilarious. Two, always has probably the best GIF comebacks to anybody. I love that. I've been trying to find that one that you use of the Asian guy with the whiskey glass. Because I'm like, yo, that's so perfect.
It has not, to. I hope.
Listen, don't tell me what it is.
I wanted to. I hope it better stay in my recents because I don't even remember what I searched to have it there.
Dude, I've actually looked Asian guy with whiskey up. It doesn't pop up, so I don't know what you did, but always appreciate you coming on. Great insight, great unbiased opinion too, which I love. Like sometimes people, you know, they allow their bias to sneak in. You are the most objective person I think I know on Calcio Twitter, so I appreciate that.
Appreciate it, brother. Listen, here for the fun, here for the takes, but it's an honor to come on. I try to take my appearances as seriously as I possibly can. I mean, we're here to have some fun. We're here to do this for the community, but I want to make sure, you know, I'm giving what I need to give. So appreciate that.
Well, always appreciate it, man. And I'm going to try to close out like Alessandro does as best as I can. But in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.